السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر وما أنزل على الملكين ببابل هاروت وماروت وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر فيتعلمون منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه وما هم بضارين به من أحد إلا بإذن الله صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله بفضل كرم إحسان الله سبحانه وتعالى. We find ourselves on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Currently, the discussion on the tongues of everyone, including us as the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the price of fuel. Everybody is concerned about the price of fuel. Fuel has gone up drastically, and when fuel has gone up drastically, then the price of all or most commodities will also go up drastically. So this has become very, very concerning. People were phoning one another before the increase to inform that, but you know, tomorrow the diesel price is going up, petrol price is going up, you rather go and fill up. So if a person goes to fill up, how much is going to fill up? One tank. How much more can he fill? Right? But so much of concern to save a person a few rands to fill up his tank or the balance of his tank. Somebody may have had half tank already, three quarter tank already. And this figure was so much that people have told me that there were queues at the petrol stations. People queued up waiting in line. On the other hand, the greed of some of the owners of petrol stations, because they knew that they bought the fuel at the old price. If they're going to sell it, they will only make the same amount of profit which they were making every day, which is a fair amount of profit. But if I sell it tomorrow after the increase, then the same petrol that I paid little for, I'll be able to sell it for so much more. So greed got the better, not of all of them, but a lot of them, where they started restricting the fuel. With this in mind, that I will be able to sell it at a higher profit tomorrow. So on the one side, the exodus of human beings were so worried that I'm going to pay so much more, or I'm going to save. So if the person needed to fill 50 liters of fuel to fill his tank, and the fuel went up by 3 rand per liter or 4 rand per liter, so he would have a savings of 150 or 200 rand for that particular tank. And after that, but just to save that 200 or 300 rand, I don't say it's nothing, right? But to save that 200 or 300 rand, how much of fikr? And where the person could have made a little bit more, how much he tried now, must restrict the petrol, only allow them 100 rand, this, that, so tomorrow I can make so much of money. Right? And this has then sparked a discussion regarding the war. People who never knew that there is a thing called the Hormuz Strait, they came to know about this thing for the first time. But how come this fuel is gone up? No, they closed the Hormuz Strait. What that Hormuz Strait is, we lived for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, we never even knew it existed. Then starts the blame game. Now whose fault is this? Iran's fault? Or the Gulf countries' fault? Or America's fault? Because Allah Pak is nowhere in the equation. Allah Pak is nowhere in the equation. It has to be some other force, not Allah Pak. Because La ilaha illallah, we forgot. Nothing happens, nothing moves, no decision is made, no war is fought, no price goes up, nobody dies, nobody lives, nothing. Except by the permission of Allah. The basic principle of our iman we forgot. So now this whole discussion, that why the fuel went up. Why the discussion? Because our dunya is going to be affected. Now I won't be able to eat that many Ferreros as I was eating. And the Dubai pista chocolate, I may not be able to afford it because the fuel is gone up. So my dunya is going to get affected. Yes, there are those who are below the bread line. They have got fikr that now the price of flour is going to go up. Price of mini meat is going to go up. How am I going to afford this? Right? So there is some fikr. But I ask you, and I mentioned this before with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, that this whole so-called war that is taking place, right, we will only understand what shaitan and the kuffar were trying to achieve when the dust settles. But today we don't even want to understand that. Because we, in our fickle understanding, what can we really understand? Each one will have their own view. But what I want to do for myself is to introspect. And this is what I would request you to do for yourself. The amount of concern and fikr that came into me when the price of fuel went up, the amount of time I spent discussing the reasons and the impact it's going to have, right? The amount of time I spent on that, did I spend even 20% of that time discussing the closure of the first Qibla of the Muslims? The fact that Masjid al-Aqsa is closed, did that affect me? Did that affect me as a mu'min, as a believer? That the third haram is closed. No namaz is taking place. Can we understand this? It is an indictment of the ummah. That we are plus minus 1.5 billion strong, if not more. Or should I say 1.5 billion weak in the world. And our haram is closed. And we can do sweet nothing about it. Do we understand how expensive this is on us? Did it worry me at all that this haram is closed? The haram can close, whatever can happen. To pass my time, I'll have discussions. But it doesn't hurt me. Only when the fuel price went up, I now sprang into action. I sprang into action. The same thing happened when the looting took place. We can't walk the streets to remind one another of Allah Ta'ala. We can't walk the streets to go and wake one another up for Fajr Salah. But when our dunya was threatened, then everybody was in the streets, protecting their business, protecting their shop, seeing to it that no looters come into our neighborhood. But for deen, nothing, or very little, very little. So this should be bleeding us, that the third most honorable site, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the fans lower, the cones on, Huzur Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned to us that we must not tie our conveyance. In other words, don't make safar to any masjid except these three. Makkah Mukarrama, the Haram, Madina Munawara, the Haram, and Masjid al-Aqsa. The Mi'raj of Huzur Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wasallam took place from Aqsa. Aqsa is the oldest Haram. And it was our Qibla also. It was our Qibla also. Huzur Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they faced Aqsa to read Salah. But that Haram is closed and no tear has come out of my eye. No effort has been made from my side. No discussion, like how I'm discussing the fuel price, has taken place with regards to the Haram being closed. So this is an indication to us that the love of the world has engulfed us. The love of the world has engulfed us. The preferences we give is to the world over the akhirat, is to our comforts over the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a time for us to introspect and see what has gone wrong in my life, that the price of fuel affects me more than the closure of our Haram. The second part of this discussion, which we cannot go into detail. Why would they close the Haram? They closed the Haram under the pretext that we are saving you Muslims. No. If you're all going to gather here, one missile will come and hit this Haram and all of you will be injured or die. So many casualties we'll have. So if that is the reasoning, then where do we get this opinion that Iran is fighting a war to defend Islam? That is the reasoning. Then where do we get this opinion that Iran is fighting a war to defend Islam, or is fighting a war to defend Palestinians and Muslims, etc.? For so long, when the people of Gaza were bleeding, where was all these weapons? All these weapons that today Muslims, Ahlus Sunnah, they are putting on their status. That see the weapons of Iran. One missile turns into so many missiles and it beat the Iron Dome and this and that and whatever. Yes, we are happy that Israel is getting a little bit hiding. Yes, we are sad that the general public in Iran, who the innocent people from among them, who may be suffering, yes, we sympathize with them. But the point is that the same Irani government, he had all these weapons when the people of Gaza were being butchered. Why didn't he use it if his intention was to defend Muslims and defend Islam? Never. A Shi'i will never defend Sunni Muslims and he will never defend Islam because he doesn't believe in Islam. He's not a mu'min. What must he defend Islam for? The third thing is, why will the Yahud make up a story like that? That we are securing the Haram, we're protecting you Muslims. Because we know they're killing the Muslims, they're not securing any Muslim. It suits them fine, more Muslims die. They'll steal more land, more of their settlers will come there and take land. Because the Muslims will now have all passed away. So it suits them fine. So this is a big question mark, right? Why would they want the Haram closed? See, the Yahud, not from today. When Fir'aun, from that Zamana now, right? When Fir'aun, he was faced with Musa alayhi salam. Who he called to help him? He called magicians, people that work with magic. So this art of filth, darkness of magic, it is something that is in the world from very, very long, which the Quran Sharif refers to as sihr. The Jewish people have always used sihr throughout. So much so that some of them actually believed that Sulaiman alayhi salam, wa na'udhu billah, he was not a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, he was a magician. This was their belief. You see, the Yahud, Allah Ta'ala says with regards to them, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They recognized Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam like how they recognized their own sons. In other words, there was no mistake. They had no doubt that this is the last Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. This is Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Knowingly, they belied and denied and rejected the Nubuwat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Right? They are a people who have a divine scripture or who had a divine scripture. Right? So obviously they know that if we deny, we are going to face the wrath of Allah. We're going to end up in Jahannam. Right? So how can they be so foolish that they know very well that this is the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They know very well, they believe in Jannat and Jahannam. It's not that they deny it. It's unlike the atheists and the mushrikeen, and they believe in reincarnation. No, these people believe in Qiyamah, they believe in Jannat, they believe in Jahannam. So how come they are opposing what they know to be the truth? Don't they know that they are going to have to answer to Allah Ta'ala? Definitely they know. So one is human weakness, like us. We know we are answerable to Allah Ta'ala, but we still get involved in so many things which Allah Ta'ala has declared as haram. We don't follow so many things which Allah Ta'ala has declared as fard. We don't do it despite knowing. And the other is deception. Right? You see, I'm thinking what to tell you and what not to tell you because our time is already up. Under this Ayat-e-Karima, if you read up in the Tafasir, you find many weird stories. Right? These stories are not from authentic sources, meaning our authentic sources. They are not from Quran Sharif, they are not from Hadith Sharif. And some of them are so far-fetched that definitely they cannot be true. Right? Some Israeli riwayat, we don't comment on it. Because we don't know, we got no way of checking the authenticity of it. So most of these incidents come from Israeli, meaning Jewish sources. Right? They come from Jewish sources. What they believe, a group of them, that Sulaiman alayhi salam, he controlled the jinnat. He controlled the animal kingdom. He controlled the birds. He controlled the oceans. He had so much of wealth. All of this was through magic. All of this was through magic. There is a storybook which they made into a movie, or a movie that they made into a storybook. It's called The Lord of the Rings, or Lord of the Rings. You heard about it. So this Lord of the Rings, you see, with these people, when they make things, قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. Sometime, the things what they are planning, what they're doing, they show it in movies. Not to say you must go and watch it, it's haram. But they expose some of these things. Right? In this Lord of the Rings, it's all about rings. That there's certain rings by certain people. When these rings will come together, whoever can get these rings and get them together, that person got the power. Isn't that the crux of the whole thing? That person got the power. So these Yahud, they believe that Sulaiman alayhis salam, all his power was in his ring. All his power was in his ring. Now there are such absurd stories, which one day, if we have a chance, maybe I will narrate them to you. But it's not necessary to learn them, because they're not true. But just to understand where these people are going. Right? So, in one story, there is one jinn. They give different opinions with regards to his name. That this jinn was living in the ocean. But Sulaiman alayhi salam brought him to do some work here. And this person made some masti, etc. He took over the throne of Sulaiman alayhi salam through the ring and all that. I'm just cutting it very, very short. And he took over the throne. So the time when he took over the throne now he was ruling for 40 days. Right? So there are stories that Sulaiman alayhi salam took this jinn, put him into a steel box, and he buried him under his throne. Right? And he'd only come out Qiyamah time. Then there are stories that the jinnat, they wrote all the formulas of magic. And they exposed to the people that wa'nauzu billah, Sulaiman alayhi salam, he is got all his powers through these formulas. Sulaiman alayhi salam, eventually when he came back, and I'm telling you, this is all Israeliyat. This is not what we believe. When he came back into power, so he took all these books where all these formulas were written, he put it in one box and he buried it under his throne. The Yahud, those that are, Allah save us, those that are deceived by Shaitan, they actually have this belief in them. That if we become powerful enough, we will make the plan of Allah Ta'ala helpless. Wa na'uzu billah. If we can unearth those jinns, if we can find those formulas, the wind will be under our control. The jinnat will be under our control. The animal kingdom will be under our control. The wealth of the world will be under our control. We will be in power. We will be in control. We will be able to render helpless the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa na'uzu billah. Wa makaru wa makar Allah. Wallahu khairul makirin. You cannot ever render, Allah Pak is most powerful over everything. You cannot render Allah Ta'ala's plans helpless. But they live in this deception. They live in this deception. And they have a very, very close relationship with the devil. Very close relationship with the shayateen. And they delve in magic. Everything that they do, they delve in magic. In sihr, in filth. So, some are of the opinion that all this excavation that takes place under Masjidul Aqsa, this excavation takes place because they looking for those formulas. Now Allah Ta'ala knows best. But the question mark is, why did they close the haram? Why did they close the haram? Now that answer we may not get. But the one take home message is that the price of fuel created more fikr in me than the haram being closed. I got more worried when the fuel price went up than when the time they closed the haram. So for this I must cry tears of blood. That where is my iman? Where is my compass? What am I cared about in this dunya? What is my life for? The other thing is, we must lament our weakness as an ummah. That we have become, as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, the foam, the filth on the flood waters. That they can just close our haram. We are plus minus 1.5 billion strong and we can do nothing about it. So there's a lot of work we need to do as an ummah. A lot of work. Work is not in the AK-47. Work is in removing the love of the world. Because when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam described this situation, he said, you will have wahan. Sahaba asked, mal wahnu ya Rasulallah? Hubbud dunya wa karahiyatul maut. The love of the world and the dislike for death. You cannot hold the AK-47 if you love the world and dislike death. Yes, the AK-47 will come in handy when the love of the world will come out and we won't fear death anymore and we can give our life for our deen. So this effort needs to be made. Remove the love of the dunya and the dislike of death. The whole ummah needs to do this. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to start and give the entire ummah tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala reopen the haram. Allah Ta'ala unite the hearts of the Muslim ummah. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala make us firm on jihad. We have left this branch of jihad one side. This is why the kuffar can just take advantage and do whatever they feel like doing to the ummah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.